The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Sweet Jesus Chocolate Jesus Soap. It's a finely sculpted statue of Jesus that looks and smells like chocolate. Not available anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to be sacrilegious. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name. Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I love the poorly educated.
It is Tuesday, March 1, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there, Mr. 78.
God, I hate you.
We'll talk about it on the after party. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or just head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or click the link in the podcast page for free legal advice. Okay.
and the advice is always pay me money.
Pay me money.
That would be awesome. I'll take your case. Just pay me money.
Give me lots of money and read my Facebook page because it's funny.
That is true.
Yeah, seriously. Charles Bowen has the funniest goddamn Facebook feed.
Oh, Bowen's awesome. Awesome. He's great.
All right. Super Tuesday. Here we are. Super Tuesday. March 1. Super duper, super duper Tuesday.
Super Tuesday. Countdown to giant nationwide tantrum.
I mean, there are so many things to cover about Super Tuesday. Now, while we're recording the show,
it's gonna be like in the Cecil B. DeMille version of the Ten Commandments, where you just you need to like wipe some blood on your door because like you'll be able to open your windows and hear the screaming all across the land as the angel of poll results descends. And young people everywhere experience the first, but certainly not the last time their dreams are completely crushed.
Yeah, right, right. And it's gonna be brutal. And we kind of know what the outcome is gonna be. And it's not gonna be pretty. And the fact of the matter is that regardless of who ends up taking the most delegates at the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of sleep lost tonight, or at least there should be a lot of sleep lost tonight, because quite frankly, if Trump gets the most delegates, I mean, Trump's basically going to be the nominee for the Republican Party. There's no doubt about that. barring him like dropping out of the race or something horrendous happening to him, like his plane going down or something terrible, he's going to be the nut.
I like that. Something horrendous happening to him, like, oh, you know, suddenly he's attacked by a bunch of sharks.
Death. Suddenly, yeah. If Trump is dead.
Something just absolutely terrible happening him, happening to him. You know, like somebody just running him over with a truck.
If something wink, bad.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That's right. We're not saying that someone should do that. We're just saying, we're hypothesizing that perhaps if Trump is hit by a truck or there's some sort of crazy feral animal that attacks him and bites him in the neck and just completely just bloodies him and like takes out his jugular. Something terrible like that happens.
We don't want to see that happen.
No.
But also you have to ask yourself, if you could have stopped Hitler in the early 30s, would you?
That's right. So now's the time, all you time travelers. He's here now. You can correct correct the dystopian future we're destined for.
Yeah, that was one of John Oliver's many brilliant hits.
Right.
From the other night when he said that Trump inauguration day, you'll know it when it happens because that's when time travelers from the future will come back to try to stop everything that happens after that.
Classic, classic episode of John Oliver. And I'm glad you brought that up because I want to bring this up here at the top of the show. All right. Now, I'm sure, at least I hope, that John Oliver's writers and John Oliver himself, I hope they're listening to the show. And I don't think that they're stealing our jokes, but there was a coincidence, and I'm calling it a coincidence because I'm a generous, kind-hearted man, with one of the jokes on Sunday nights last week tonight with John Oliver on HBO. Here is, we'll play the clip first. Right at the top of his Donald Trump segment, John Oliver said this.
And polls show him leading most Super Tuesday states, which is a big deal. Since 1988, every candidate who's won the most states on Super Tuesday went on to become their party's nominee. So at this point, Donald Trump is America's back mole. It may have seemed harmless a year ago, but now that it's gotten frighteningly bigger, it is no longer wise to ignore it. And I do understand why Trump supports...
Okay, so that was John Oliver during his show Sunday night. We rewind now. We set the Wayback Machine to February 25th, 2014, and an article I wrote for the Daily Banter and Huffington Post called Why We Shouldn't Ignore Ted Nugent or His Fellow Crackpots. We go down to the last paragraph where I write, indeed, ignoring the crazies is not unlike ignoring a suspicious mole. It may make you feel better to not worry about it, but it won't keep it from ballooning into something serious. And yes, I just compared Ted Nugent to skin cancer with apologies to skin cancer. So there it is.
I think it was a coincidence.
It was totally. Of course it was a coincidence.
It's a great analogy one way or the other.
Right. But I was like, damn, they did the mole joke. That was mine.
You could be writing for John Oliver.
That's right. They'll come to me for all of their melanoma humor. Hey, if you want to make a joke about skin cancer, I'm your guy. All right. So that happened. But it was an amazing segment on John Oliver. And it was an amazing couple of days. And I'm talking about this past weekend. For talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. And we all know why. I mean, there was the KKK thing, which we're going to get into here. And then there was Marco Rubio and just going all out against Trump's skin color, his little stubby fingers, and therefore his penis. We're going to talk about that in a second. But before we really, really dive in, let's get back to Super Tuesday. Because I think those of us who are following the polls, we kind of know what the results are going to be.
It feels like something has changed even over the past like week. Maybe it's, I don't know, honestly, maybe it's Clinton momentum. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But if you go look at 538, the numbers are just, the numbers are overwhelming.
Yeah, for both Trump and Clinton. And there are going to be several states, obviously, that Bernie Sanders wins and Ted Cruz will win Texas.
In fairness, the chances for Clinton are overwhelming.
Yes.
I mean, there are several states where Nate Silver has her, you know, 99%.
Right. And the odds are insane for Massachusetts in favor of. I don't see, this is where Nate Silver kind of loses me a little bit, because I'm looking at Massachusetts there. And by the way, I do recognize the fact that most of you will be hearing this show after Super Tuesday is over. But because everything's happening while we can't neglect it. We can't not talk about Super Tuesday. And certainly we don't have our time traveling DeLorean to be able to know what's going to happen 24 hours from now to make it appropriate for all of our listeners who are downloading the show on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. So suffice to say, that out of the way. I'm looking at Massachusetts, and Nate Silver's got Clinton winning Massachusetts, or the chance of winning at 94%.
Yeah.
But the polls are much tighter than that. I mean, right now, just in the recent last 24 hours or so, it's expanded to 50% Clinton, 43% for Sanders, but it's been back and forth. It's been bouncing. I mean, Sanders was pretty damn close to taking Massachusetts there for a while. I mean, at one point it was 50% Sanders, 41% Clinton, and that was on the 19th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to, I mean, there's some states where it's still up in the air and we don't know for sure, but I think at the end of Tuesday and going into Wednesday, it's pretty certain what the outcome is going to be. Now, is it going to decide who the nominee is going to be on both sides? No, not a chance in hell. It's going to keep going. Obviously, from what Bernie has said over the last couple of days, he intends to continue campaigning all the way up until the convention. And that's, you know, that's his prerogative. But, you know, as far as the party is concerned, as far as the nominee is concerned, we're going to know long before that.
That's horribly irresponsible.
Yeah. Well, we're going to.
It's just horribly irresponsible. He has the money to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And he's very good at, through grassroots, raising money. But that's not a good idea. I mean, once it's pretty much by the 15th, the math will be almost impossible. If everything goes the way the polls say, by the 15th, the math will be almost impossible for Bernie to overcome.
Yes, that is true.
And when I say ultimately almost impossible, I'm, you know, we're not talking Lloyd Christmas, you know, so there's a chance, though.
Right.
It's never been done in history and won't be done now, not with the kind of numbers that Bernie is bringing out. Because you have to remember, for all of his big youth revolution that he's supposedly starting, the numbers among Democratic voters, especially for him, have actually been a lot lower than Obama's.
Yeah. Well, overall,
so the turnout is not as big as it once was, which is kind of shocking. It should be bigger.
Well,
I'm
overall,
the first one to say that.
Democrat, this is what's scaring the hell out of me. Overall, turnout is down for the Democrats, up for the Republicans, except for in South Carolina, where turnout was massive. And we should, I mean, take a second to talk about South Carolina. I was kind of blown away. And as we've talked about before, we both follow the polls quite extensively, and we kind of have a general sense as to what the outcomes are going to be. But then if you start to look at the crosstabs of the exit polls, you begin to see something in South Carolina that was astonishing. You know, Hillary Clinton, and I'm not breaking any news here, I think those of us who have been following along kind of know this already, but Hillary Clinton did better with African Americans in South Carolina than Obama did in 2008.
She absolutely creamed Sanders. I mean, wow.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure why that is, but it was one of those things that kind of floored me. That's amazing. That
It's because she cheated.
It's because Bill Clinton's going around to all the precincts and disrupting the polling places.
That's right.
Did you see that story today?
No. Please tell me that's more U.S. uncut.
But yeah, there was a bit of a scandal with Bill Clinton turning up to a polling place in Massachusetts, where it is, quite frankly, as you're saying, Massachusetts is really tight. So maybe there is one precinct that's going to make a difference between the winner and the loser.
Because he heard that Massachusetts was really tight.
That's right. Bill Clinton's going to get me some of that. He's like, polls are really tight in Massachusetts.
My polls are up, and then Massachusetts is tight.
Now, what do I want to do? What do I want to use, the exit poll or the entrance poll? Well, you shouldn't use an exit poll for an entrance poll, if you know what I mean. It's a bad idea. And never go from exit poll to mouth. That's bad. You never. That's my rule of thumb.
It used to be that I was like, God, do I really want to deal with another however many years of Bill Clinton?
Well, I don't.
You know what?
I kind of
back in 2008, I was not by any stretch of the imagination, as much as I thought he was a good president, was not ready for that shit again. Yeah. But you know what? Another 8 years goes by and now I'm like, I've taken more of a shine to Bill, than I, you know, than I felt 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm much, to go back to our double entendre, I'm much softer on the Clintons than you are. I am not. I still kind of believe some of the things that I wrote in 2008 with regard to the Clintons and the old school Democratic way of campaigning and the triangulation and the calculation and the obvious pandering. I mean, if there's anyone who makes their pandering really, really obvious, it's the Clintons. And it's
absolutely,
it's difficult to get behind the idea of taking that step backward to an older Democratic political dynasty. And right. I would much rather see another Obama type figure stepping up. And I guess that to a certain extent is Bernie Sanders, but not really, because, you know, he is older. He is kind of an old school Democrat in some ways, or an old school liberal in some ways. But I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, a Hillary disciple. I mean, and obviously people are going to argue with me about that, but I don't care. It's not. Look at my record of the things that I've written over the years, and you will find that while I'm skeptical about Bernie Sanders, that doesn't mean that I'm in the tank for Hillary Clinton either. All right. So, and speaking of Hillary Clinton, and then dovetailing back to the Republicans, I'm wondering at this point, if Republican leadership, both at the party level and in Congress, I'm wondering if they're wishing that they had superdelegates at this point. I'm wondering if they're looking at the Democratic system and going, you know, maybe we ought to borrow those superdelegate things. Maybe we ought to do something like that. Because as you follow the Republican campaign right now, and you see Donald Trump, and you see Marco Rubio, and you see Ted Cruz, you really wonder whether or not superdelegates aren't such a bad idea after all. Like, that's why they're there. Superdelegates are there to prevent a Donald Trump's type figure.
Absolutely.
Some sort of crazy populist coming in and disrupting the whole goddamn thing. Gives them a stopgap to make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen. And ultimately, while it seems, when you're right up in it, it seems weird and not entirely on the up and up. But when you look at it from the perspective of the Republicans, like, we're not in it. We're not really so deeply ensconced in the emotion and the drama of the Republican side. From that objective distance, you could see, well, boy, they could really use it.
Yeah, they could use someone to override the national id.
That's right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, oh, my God, let's get into the Trump Marco Rubio crap from over the weekend, because it is beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing on so many levels. And then also, at the same time, really, really dangerous. We'll get into it right after we talk about this. Okay, I can't stop talking about Harry's razors. It occurred to me the other day while I was shaving that there's literally no reason whatsoever for the other razor manufacturers to exist other than to make a profit off a product that should be far less expensive and a much higher quality. In other words, imagine if a bar of soap was $32 and you really didn't get all that clean with it. It seems like a massive waste of money. Of course, I have a solution. Actually, Harry's has the solution, and I'm just here to tell you about it. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at harrys.com? That's right. Go to harrys.com, pick up the Harry's starter set. It's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. Best of all, I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now with no razor burn, just a smooth, close shave every time that feels great. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits, and you don't have to worry if you drop your Harry's razor in the shower. It'll all snap right back together. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC, that's Bob and Chez, BANDC, for $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to our Tuesday show. Oh, my God, I'm so happy I got my voice back. It's amazing. I love it. It's really kind of sketchy Friday. But the worst was Stephanie Miller last Wednesday. It's just like, I don't know, what the hell. It's like I had like an emergency tracheotomy or something. It sounded like,
nice.
Like, it's never going to come back. And then finally, yesterday, I don't know, mid-morning or so yesterday, I was like, oh my God, I can talk again. This is great. Right in time for the podcast, too. Perfect. All right, so Marco Rubio and Donald Trump and Donald Trump's little teeny tiny fingers, apparently, which
cocktail sausage fingers.
Cocktail sausage fingers. I mean, it's, Graydon Carter has got to be smiling from ear to ear right now. Yeah. Graydon Carter, the writer for Spy magazine, who first coined the phrase short-fingered vulgarian to describe Donald Trump. And the thing I didn't know about that is that Graydon Carter has been trolling Trump ever since then.
Yeah.
Ever since the 80s, he's been trolling Trump about his stubby fingers.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like, he'll send, he'll write something about Donald Trump or refer to Donald Trump as a short-fingered vulgarian, and Donald Trump gets so bent out of shape and so butthurt that he gets pictures of himself. This is Trump. Trump will get pictures of himself and take a gold, of course, it's a gold Sharpie, because everything Trump has is gold. And he circles his hands in the photo with gold Sharpie and then writes like a note that says,
"See, not so short.
Not so short," right? And then sends it to Graydon Carter. And then Graydon Carter sends it back with an additional note that says, "Actually, quite short."
Yeah, exactly. Which that, is just, that's the thing. It's not, he's not publicly trolling him, but when he does, when Trump, because Trump is still sore after like 25 years, he totally responds. It's like, actually quite short.
So I was stunned. I mean, I was kind of preoccupied over the weekend, wasn't following the news. So when I finally caught some news Sunday night, I was amazed that it actually, and I shouldn't have been, I shouldn't have been amazed that the debate on the Republican side has devolved to this level, because we've seen it coming for so long, and we were predicting it to happen. Like, I mean, they were really going to start adapting Trump style campaigning maybe in 2020 or 2024, but it's really already started. And Marco Rubio was on the stump the other day and he just let loose. And so on one hand, I was laughing and I thought it was hilarious and I couldn't believe someone was actually going there in a presidential campaign. And then
you thought that it's happening in a presidential campaign.
Exactly.
And then it's just the tears come down and the depression sets in.
That's exactly right.
This is where we are. The two front runners, the two people Marco Rubio isn't even close to being a front runner.
Right.
But the front runner and the person closest to him are battling it out through schoolyard insults.
That's right. That's right. And not even,
I mean,
like,
genuinely dick jokes.
Exactly. Dick jokes. And they're not even, it's not even like, oh, he said something stupid on the stump. Like he made a mistake and mispronounced a word, or he lied on the stump, or he lied in an interview. This is basically Marco Rubio saying, Donald Trump's got a small dick. All right. Now let's everybody laugh at his dick now. And then, of course, everyone does laugh at his dick. It's just this since then. It's just, just everyone laughing at Trump's little d- it's constant. So here's,
well, you know what it is? I think what we're getting is we're getting Trump introducing reality show style.
Well, yeah,
drama and comedy to these campaigns, and everybody is now realizing. Because look at the look on Marco Rubio's face as the audience responds to his jokes.
Oh yeah,
it's just, he's loving every single second
he
of it.
He loves
it's
it.
That
yeah,
rush of. Right. Of being bad, and that's what Trump is all about.
That's it. They don't have to. They're not encumbered anymore by discipline. They don't have to be disciplined to behave or to have some sort of presidential decorum. They can just let fly like the Real Housewives or whoever, or Trump for that matter.
And that's exactly what it is. And we were, and you know, the bigger thing, we were always moving toward this.
Yeah.
Eventually, our country was moving toward becoming one giant reality show.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Trump has wrought upon us.
So here's Marco Rubio talking about Trump's spray tan and obviously Trump's little dick.
So just give me one more minute because we got to have fun with it. He likes to go on Twitter. So he now says, well, first of all, he says that I'm sweating all the time. It's hot in here. Am I sweating now? No. All right. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't sweat because his pores are clogged from the spray tan that he uses.
Yeah. It's you know, Marco, the insult comic presidential candidate.
That's exactly right. Jesus, it's like...
They're insult comics. That's what we've got now.
Yeah, Marco Rubio is roasting Donald Trump, except he's not doing it out of fun. Like, it's not part of the room. Like, it's not part of the event. He's trying to undermine Donald Trump by using this kind of speech. And, you know, it's one thing for, like 1990s shock jocks to go after each other, you know, in rivalries. Like, what was it, like Howard Stern going after the zookeeper in Philadelphia or something like that. Yeah. And they would prank call each other, and then they would insult each other and just really hit each other, like insult each other's wives and crap like that. Well, now it's reached presidential proportions. And just listen again how the audience is just loving this.
Donald is not going to make America great. He's going to make America orange.
Oh, dear God.
See, I mean, what you're really doing now is you're really giving them bread and circuses.
Exactly.
I mean, this is,
bread and circuses. That's exactly what this is.
More than ever before, it's like, this is the kind of shit that the American people devour. I mean... The stupid idiots, especially on the Republican side, just devour this stuff. Because you know why? It's white trash behavior. It's people who know better acting like Jerry Springer guests.
That's it, exactly. It is Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
It's Jerry Springer. It's what Patty Chayefsky predicted in Network, finally yeah. moving into all of culture.
Yeah, that's right. And really, I mean, where does it go? Where's it go? Well, let's listen to the rest of this Marco Rubio, because we haven't gotten to the little fingers yet. But I definitely want to talk about where this leads.
Next thing. Now, the other thing he says, he's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me. He's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands?
Oh, my God. See, there it is. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there, I'm laughing my ass off, and at the same time, I'm going, oh, my God. Yep. A presidential campaign. Two presidential campaigns. Now they're starting back and forth with insults.
Mm-hmm. This is where we are now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have to go back to maybe the election of 1800, when Thomas Jefferson went after John Adams for looking hermaphroditic. You know, to find another example of that. But now it's like there's a different context to all of it now. Like in 1800, the toothpaste was still in the tube. We hadn't ruined everything yet. We hadn't become this reality show nation yet. So, you know, it's kind of weird that that was going on way back then. But it wasn't damage. This is now damage. Because where we go from here...
And that's it, exactly. You don't even need to say anymore.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? Because we don't go back. We never do. Once the bar is raised or lowered, as it were, then it doesn't go back. You can't push it back into place.
I mean, how do you top a dick joke? I mean, in the context of a presidential campaign.
Trump will figure out a way.
Trump will figure out a way.
Trump is eventually going to be the very first candidate to say, if he hasn't already and somehow it just hasn't gotten out, like into a hot mic or something. But yeah. Presidential candidate Donald Trump will be the first one ever to say, fuck.
Yeah. Well,
during a political rally or during a speech.
Right. And Bill Maher did something like that during his... During his monologue at the end of the show, he did a fake State of the Union address in which it was loaded with four-letter words.
Yeah.
And that was the idea. But, I mean, it seems like the next thing that Trump is going to do is actually, well, pull out his dick on the stump. Like, literally, like, pull out his stump on the stump.
Yeah.
Redefine what it means to do a stump speech.
And you know it's going to be like, Marco Rubio's insulting my dick. By the way, I have a great dick. I have a beautiful dick. It's a beautiful dick. You know, I have a great dick. Experts tell me I have a great dick.
My dick is so great, your dick will fall off. Jesus. So, I mean,
we'll all have so many big dicks, your head will stop spinning. The head of your dick will be spinning.
After we take a short break, we're going to come back to Trump's response to Marco Rubio right after this.
Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at bobsesca.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
All right, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobsesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at bobsesca.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. And seriously, a huge thanks to everyone who's used the Amazon link. December and then February were our two biggest months ever with the Amazon link. So please keep going. When you shop at Amazon, go in through our link. It seems magical and weird, but it actually works. If you use our link, we get a small commission from everything you buy. All right. And I'm wondering how many times we've said the word dick on the show today.
You
So there's another one. Okay. So Donald Trump responded to Marco Rubio on the dick front.
Because of course he did.
On the dick joke thing. It keeps going. And, you know, Bill Maher had it right the other night. You know, look, here we are talking about dick jokes and blah, blah, blah. The same, no, not the same, but this all new level of horse race crap. And, you know, the climate is fucking killing us. I mean, we're staring down the barrel of a climate Armageddon. Basically, I mean, the planet's going to be fine. I always have to preface that by saying the planet's going to be fine. This is human beings.
We're not.
Yeah. We're going to be screwed. And here we are having to talk about the
jokes. But that's all right, though. It is. Because honestly, if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, we won't last that long.
Yeah. And
we won't have to worry about climate change killing us because we'll be at war with like Liechtenstein because they said something about his eyebrows.
Exactly.
We'll have incinerated them with, like, you know, firebombs.
Okay. Now, I got to ask you this. Remember when the Republicans were the family values people?
I do, yeah.
And now they're the ones.
Feels like forever ago.
Right. Now, they're the ones with the jokes. The family values people. The people who want to crawl up inside women's vaginas to stop them from aborting zygotes. These guys are walking around making jokes. That's horrendous. That's another reason why this is so god effing awful.
You know, Josh Marshall wrote a really, really great piece today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the one thing I'll say about this is that smart people are having really smart takes on it. And I'm enjoying, while I hate the impetus for them, I'm enjoying hearing the sort of dissections about culturally what caused this. And he did this really great piece where he equated what's happened within the Republican Party with Donald Trump, the rise of Donald Trump to debt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he says, he's like, every time the Republicans pushed paranoia and stupidity, there was a debt. They created a debt.
Yeah.
And eventually that debt was going to come due.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has. Because that's what Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is the collector.
Exactly. I mean, and the funny thing is you still see Republican leadership walking around going, well, we don't know what to do. Yeah. Where did this come from?
They're completely, completely stymied by this.
And they really shouldn't be. If they were really the party of personal responsibility, they would know. They would know that it was 2010 when this started. It wasn't even 2010. It was 2008 in those lines, in those Sarah Palin rally lines. That's what started the Donald Trump, whatever it is.
Fomenting and their embrace of racism, paranoia, anti-intellectualism.
Yeah.
All of it. All of it. Just the most gruesome, vulgar you could possibly come up with. And also lying. Also just absolute, like, unapologetic
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump doesn't tell the truth. I mean, he lies his ass off, and it doesn't even matter.
That's right. That's right. His polls go up.
That around him.
His polls absolutely end up going up.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one thing.
Nobody cares that he lies.
Yeah, that's right.
And he lies about inconsequential things.
And it's so often that you end up forgetting all of the things. Like there was one thing that happened either yesterday or Sunday that I saw on MSNBC. It was some Trump thing he was talking about. I forget it was about the deficit or something like that. And it was one of those situations where I'm just going, that's a lie. I'm looking at the TV and I'm pointing. I'm like pointing right at it with my arm outstretched. And I'm going, he's lying. And it's just like, I kept doing it because he kept lying.
Yeah.
And it was so many lies that I forgot the first lie that I was outraged about.
Yeah. He said he doesn't know who David Duke is. He criticized him in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said there were thousands of people, having parties after 9/11 in, you know, across the river. That didn't happen. Just all of these things that it does. Yeah. It boggles the mind. It just makes you, it's a giant facepalm that somehow he's getting away with this.
That's right. That is exactly right. And the fact of the matter is, I want to talk about the KKK thing in the next segment. But the thing is, you know, his people have been conditioned so well by Fox News Channel, whether Fox supports Trump or not. Fox News Channel has basically indoctrinated these people, brainwashed them, depending on who you ask, into this cult where everything that's a lie is the truth, and everything that is the truth comes from outside the bubble and is therefore a lie.
Exactly.
And so it's just this up is down, black is white kind of thing that they've done, and they've done it successfully, and it's atrocious. And what that has done...
Muslims are setting up Sharia law right in the middle of Washington, D.C. right now.
Exactly.
That's totally true, but climate change is...
All right,
90% of the scientific community.
So here's Trump responding to Marco Rubio on the hands thing.
Now the other day I hear this Rubio, and I call him... Correct. I call him Little Marco. Hello, Marco. He said I had small hands. Actually, I'm 6'3", not 6'2", but he said I had small hands. They're not small, are they? I never heard...
He's not... By the way, it's irrelevant whether he's 6'2 or 6'3", and then the size of his hands on top of it. Doesn't matter. He still has little stumpy hands.
I never heard that one before.
Oh, he's never heard that one before, right?
Yeah,
he's never...
Right. There it is.
That's a lie.
There's another lie.
That's absolutely a lie.
It is a flat out lie.
Yes, because he's heard it from Graydon Carter for 30 years.
25 years.
Yeah.
He has been in a war with Graydon Carter over this.
So I've never heard that one before. And watch, here coming up, he's going to talk about how beautiful his hands are.
I've always had people say, Donald, you have the most beautiful hands.
There it is. There it is. Wow. I predicted it without even f***ing, of course.
He has the most beautiful hands.
Yep.
The big, beautiful hands. My hands are so beautiful, your dick will fall off. Jesus Christ. Big, beautiful hands. And everyone's like, woo! Trump's hands. All right. Make America great again. Plus, beautiful hands.
President Camacho.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm so disappointed that he hasn't showed up on the stump. By the way, now stump is just going to have this whole new meaning for me. He hasn't showed up at the stump with a firearm yet. And I was really hoping that at some point it was going to be the AR-15 because, of course, it would have to be. I mean, if he wants to play this part.
I could see that. I really could.
He's got to show up on the stump with an AR-15, of course.
You.
All right, we're going to take one last break, and we're going to talk about, I can't believe it. I can't believe we're talking about the effing KKK and David Duke.
Mm-hmm.
David Duke. Going to get into it right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit bubblegenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit bubblegenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's bubblegenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by bubblegenius.com.
Okie dokie, welcome back to the show today. Thank you for joining us. I want to talk about Trump and the KKK, and I want to spend a little bit of time on it, but then I want to segue into Jesse Ventura in the news today.
Thank God. Because you know what we really need is one more fucking clown.
That's right. There aren't enough clowns in the news at all. You know, and by the way, I wrote this in the Daily Banter today. As much as we ridicule the Republicans for their goddamn clown car and their jokes and whatever, the fact of the matter is they turn out to vote.
They do.
They do. And they turn out to vote more often than the Democrats. That's happening now in the primaries. It's going to surely happen if the trend continues during the election in November. And it always happens in the midterms and the off-year elections.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Samantha Bee nailed it on her show. She's got a show, where is it, on TBS?
TBS,
is
that where she's doing a show?
Yeah. And by the way, she should be hosting The Daily Show. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, totally.
She ought to be the host of The Daily Show.
She absolutely should be. And they should have, you know, no offense, but they should have gotten rid of Trevor Noah already and brought her back.
Right, right. And so she did a segment about how really the left is ultimately to blame for the rise of Trump. And specifically, she goes back to 2010 and the midterms and the left's inability to turn out for elections like that, specifically that one, that gave rise to the Tea Party, that gave rise then to fertile ground for Donald Trump to pop up. And that's it. And the fact of the matter is that as much as we want political revolution, we have to be able to do it without the assistance of a cult of personality. We have to be able to do it inspired by change and inspired by the issues and without some sort of Pied Piper to take us there.
Right, but that's not the way. I don't think that's the way anything in America works now. And I think Donald Trump, you know, you're right about the right coming out regardless. Even in spite of what's going on, when you're conservative, you do tend to figure out a way to stick together and to stay on message to get what you want, because you're also willing to get as much as you can of what you want instead of having perfect be the enemy of good, which is what the left does.
Exactly.
But Trump is somebody who, he's an entertainer, and that's why people love him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's an authoritarian and he's an entertainer. He just makes people happy, and they're dumb and go along with it.
And along those lines, on, I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell last night, it might have been, they all sort of bleed together. It was either Lawrence O'Donnell or Chris Hayes. And they were talking about Trump's unfavorables. And as far as I'm concerned, Trump's unfavorables are completely irrelevant. And you know why? Because in the United States, we like antiheroes. We like villains. We champion them. How many TV shows do we watch now where the main character in the show is either a villain or an antihero?
Absolutely.
Or some sort of criminal. I mean, we love it. So the fact that we don't like Trump isn't going to prevent us from voting for him. I mean, the people are going to vote for him because they think he's a villain, or they think he's a badass, or there's going to be some negative connotation.
The horribleness of Trump is a built-in feature.
Exactly.
It's not something you can prey upon.
Yeah.
It's not something you can call out and have that be an effective attack.
Well, exactly. I mean, look at every reality show where Trump basically comes from now, at least in terms of the context of modern voters. Everyone recognizes him as being the apprentice guy. And so, who are the people on reality shows? They're all unlikable. Everyone on a reality show is in some way unlikable. And that's Trump. Trump is succeeding because partly because he's unlikable. I just think there's some funny, weird reality show jujitsu happening here with Donald Trump. And those, the traditional means of gauging who's going to get votes on election day have to kind of be out the window, because you're not going to be able to determine anything by determining unfavorables when it comes to this guy. All right. So speaking of that, we're talking about the KKK now.
We're talking about the KKK.
David Duke, who, why isn't he dead yet? Is there any reason why? But he keeps coming out in support of Donald Trump, and this led Jake Tapper on CNN to ask Trump the following question.
Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about...
So, by the way, he's going to make up the excuse later that it was his earpiece. He clearly understood the question.
Exactly. He just said that. He just repeated the fucking question back
exactly.
to him.
Exactly. So it wasn't his earpiece at all. It was just Donald Trump
again,
lying.
Again, another... two lies.
Yeah.
Two lies right there. Two right. lies. First one was he doesn't know who David Duke is.
Yeah.
Because he absolutely does.
Yeah.
Second lie will be that he didn't hear the question right because there was a faulty earpiece, which is just absolute crap.
Yeah, it really, really is.
What you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So,
and there
I don't
it goes.
Know.
He just repeated
I know, there.
He just repeated the entire question back.
I mean, he might as well have just read the question back verbatim. I mean, as far as verifying whether or not his earpiece was working. I mean, because he basically did. He basically said, you know, it's like Jake Tapper saying, breaker 19, are you there? Come back. And it, like Trump's like, crazy cooter coming at you. Yeah, I understand. I hear you. And
our references now go back to 70 CB radio.
Yeah, well.
In popular culture.
If we're talking about David Duke, it might as well be.
That, you know what? That makes sense. That's fair.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists.
I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about the fact that he's a white supremacist or a member of the KKK or a former presidential candidate with red hair and he lives in the South. And his wife's name is Betsy, and he's got three kids. They're all grown now. I know nothing about David Duke.
Jesus.
And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about.
But I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you. Would you just say unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You.
He just wow. said.
He just said.
White supremacists in the KKK.
Yep. White supremacists.
I don't know what group you're talking about. Are you talking about the Girl Scouts? I love their cookies, but I don't know anything about the Girl Scouts.
I eat their cookies with my beautiful hands.
Those little tubes of Thin Mints. My hands are small enough. I can fit down the tube without breaking the cellophane. Isn't that amazing? My little beautiful hands.
You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I'd have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong.
That is so ridiculous. Before I disavow the KKK, I have to do some research on them. You know, they may have really exactly. good... They might help the handicapped. You know, I don't want to disavow them if they're helping the handicapped.
I mean, I think it was Seth Meyer who hit it on the head. He's like, what he did was just brilliant. Because he didn't respond, he didn't disavow racists,
yeah.
but then he did it later so that basically the racists can look at him and go, okay, we know why he did that. And they heard yeah. it anyway. They heard it the first time loud and clear.
Right. That's brilliant. Exactly. Holy crap, because that's exactly what he did. Because all that matters is the first thing that he said.
Absolutely.
That's all that matters all is the first thing
that matters. Matters. Oh my God. That's all that matters, and yet... Coming back and saying that he disavows them, you know, hours later, days later, whatever the hell it was, that's great because that even gives his, you know, the people whenever liberals or anybody with a brain argues, he's a racist. Look what he just said. No, he disavowed that later very quietly.
I mean, I don't even know what the KKK stands for. Is that Krispy Kreme company? I don't know what that is. Can someone tell me what does KKK stand for? No idea. Because I've been living under a fucking rock for years. I mean, obviously.
But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but...
I don't know anything.
He's just so, Jake Tapper so defeated there. It's like,
Tapper,
don't even know.
Yeah, I feel bad for Tapper. And I mentioned him specifically in a piece that I wrote, I think it was last week, about how the political media needs to just stop f***ing with him and tear into this guy. And I mentioned Tapper specifically because I said that. I'm like, Tapper is a really good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a good journalist, and he's a good political journalist. And to hear him, you can tell he's both fed up, like I'm not going to get anything out of this, and also, like you said, defeated. Just, okay, you know what? Screw this. Why am I even bothering? Why am I here?
I mean, it's been around for 150 years, the KKK. At some point, you know, you'd think, but I mean, it's obvious that he's lying. I mean,
the movie about the KKK was called Birth of a Nation. That's how long the KKK has been around.
It's not like, you know, Jake Tapper wasn't saying, hey, you know what, Chez Pazienza, the Daily Banter.
The Daily Banter.
But mentioned you in his article the other day. And he's like, I don't know who Chaz is on whatever that website is called. I've never heard of them. I'll have to go back and research. No, we're talking about the KKK. I don't know. I don't know. You're talking Chinese here or something. I don't understand. I don't get it. Yeah, idiot.
Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him, and I just don't know anything about him.
He's a member of the KKK. He's the Grand Wizard.
And also, you do know who he is. You do know who he is because you specifically commented on him.
What do you think, Donald, about Barack Obama saying something negative about you the other day, criticizing your teeny tiny hands? I don't know who Barack Obama is. I have to go back and do some research on who this Barack Obama guy is. I don't know who he is. All I know is I've got big, beautiful hands. Oh, my God. And you know what's funny? Everyone, all the supporters are going, yeah, right, you tell them.
Nothing. That's what's funny. None of this is f***ing funny anymore.
No, it's really not. It's really
I mean, and I feel bad saying that because obviously our jobs here is to laugh at stuff.
Yeah.
But God, it's just not funny. It's tragic.
Yeah, and see what they're doing now is they're just playing the lie so much that we're going to get to the point where the press is either going to become like nuclear powered watchdogs. They're just going to go bananas on candidates like Trump. Or the more likely result is going to be they're just going to give up and they're not even going to bother. Oh, it's just they're just lying again.
I mean, it would be awesome. I don't know if it would make any difference, but it would be a really great thing if Jake Tapper just had a Murrow moment where he just said, "This is, you can't let this happen."
Yeah.
This person is a monster.
That's right.
This is a monster. And you cannot put this narcissistic, sociopathic monster in charge of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. You cannot put this person in charge of the military, our military, all of our agencies, all of our federal agencies, all under the purview of Donald Trump.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, if you think you're going to stay home, and I want to get to this Jesse Ventura thing, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. We can cover it again in the postmortem show. But if you think you're going to stay home because your candidate didn't win the nomination and you think that everything's going to be cool because the lack of Democratic votes led to a President Trump, then the blood is on your hands when Donald Trump goes to war, some ridiculous war that maybe even involves nuclear weapons, when the whole series of terrible things go down because the Republicans suddenly ascend to the presidency again.
With Donald Trump as their leader.
That's right. And Michael Hayden, by the way, saying on Real Time with Bill Maher, and I'm not counting this on this as a stopgap, but Michael Hayden on Bill Maher Friday night basically said that if Donald Trump orders an unnecessary military strike, the military will stand down in the face of orders from their commander in chief, Donald Trump. And this is Michael Hayden. Michael Hayden was the head of both the CIA and the NSA. And he's a general, for God's sake. This is a guy who's spent his entire life following orders. And he's saying that we're not going to follow orders from Donald Trump if it comes down to something that's ridiculous or dangerous. That's amazing. Yeah, and people are staying home, are risking that sort of eventuality. I mean, the pillars of everything in the United States crumbling and disintegrating. That's basically what we're looking at. All right, on that note, we'll do something fun here.
Let's win this thing.
Yes.
We demand a man who speaks his mind.
Jesse Ventura.
Darn right.
Darn right.
Thank
God. Have you been watching Better Call Saul?
No, I haven't seen it yet this season. I've got him DVR'd.
Oh my God, that nerd guy who Mike is helping out do these deals for these pharmaceutical drugs. Every time he says baseball cards, I think of Jesse Ventura because he says he's got that accent. He says baseball cards. He's got the Jesse Ventura card thing. What about my baseball cards? All right, so Jesse Ventura, contrary to what we thought, I mean, I always thought that Jesse was going to jump into the Bernie Sanders camp, but Jesse is actually still undecided. And not undecided between Bernie and Hillary. He's undecided between Bernie or Donald Trump.
I'm not surprised by that. I wish I could say that I were, but I'm not.
Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. That's astonishing, by the way, every time I read that.
Yeah. Former
Governor Jesse Ventura said he's torn between supporting Senator Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump for president. Quote, people give them no PAC money, no special interest money, he told the Associated Press. To me, that's the most important thing. Well, for now, because I assure you, when either of them get the nomination, they're going to need it. Ventura said he admires both Sanders and Trump for campaigning outside of the Democratic and Republican political establishments.
That's why. Because Jesse's just another mindlessly anti-establishment guy. That's his shibboleth. You know, that's his article of faith.
Right. And I think, you know, I think he leads toward Trump because Trump is the Alex Jones conspiracy theory candidate.
Yeah.
I think that's his thing. That's truly the thing about
that's something I'm surprised we haven't heard yet. Have we heard like Trump say, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to open Area 51 and make it public.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use those weather weapons, but not against people in Oklahoma. I'm going to like Barack Obama, whoever that is. I'm going to use them against Syria.
Yeah.
Use the weather weapons.
He's, you know, that he will say something along the lines of, you know, all our secrets, you know, the secrets they've been keeping from you, the Roswell spacecraft. I'm going to make sure you all get to see that.
My friend Alex Jones thinks I can move the weather weapons using tiny planes and helicopters. Move the tornadoes all around. And I'm going to do that. Ventura, who's still weighing his own White House run as an independent, also told the AP he would not make a formal endorsement because he does not belong to either candidate's party. I don't want the revolution to die if Bernie Sanders gets beat, he added. So if Bernie Sanders loses, there was another article that came out that said if Bernie Sanders does not win the nomination, that's going to be Jesse Ventura's signal to run for president, to officially announce. Even though, didn't we announce on the show like 3 or 4 months ago that Jesse was running for president? Because didn't he say on his stupid YouTube show, I'm running for president, darn right.
Yeah. From whatever undisclosed compound where he records that thing.
I'm starting my own party and it's going to be called the Thermite Party. Jesus. So, yeah. So, I mean, this is pretty much what we could expect from Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping. There's still a little part of me that hopes that maybe Donald Trump picks someone like Jesse Ventura to be his running mate.
Sure, why not? Yeah. Thermite party, I like that.
Just to recap where we were at the top of the show, Donald Trump is going to win the nomination of the Republican Party. I mean, he may not actually get it at the convention because there's already talk of, you know, a contested convention, a brokered convention. I think John Kasich, for example, is looking toward that as a possibility. But
the
short of that,
the Republicans would have to be both suicidal, but actually oddly responsible.
Yes.
I think the latter is harder for them than the former in order to say we will not nominate Trump. We cannot do that.
Yeah. Well, just looking at the polls, it's quite obvious that Trump's going to be the nominee. And while you're listening to this show, you'll already know the results of Super Tuesday, where Trump will have won most of the votes.
Yeah.
Except for Texas, where Ted Cruz is going to easily win Texas. And God help us
and
all.
What does that say about Texas?
Yeah. And by the way, everything negative that we said about Trump during the show, and by the way, everything was negative. Ted Cruz is far worse still. Ted Cruz, far, far worse a possibility than Donald Trump as president. True. I'm entirely convinced of that.
And everyone hates Ted Cruz. Everyone hates him.
Because, you know, there still is a narrow, narrow chance that Donald Trump isn't quite the crazy person that he comes off to be. Like, there's like, as a president, he may not be as crazy as someone like Ted
Cruz. Oh, no, I don't think he's crazy at all. No. I don't. I think he's a narcissist and, a bullshit artist.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the postmortem show coming up. If you want to hear more of this show, go to patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the Patreon link at the top of bobseska.com and contribute to the show. You get all kinds of new and different free stuff like the postmortem show, and that's coming up next. We'll see you there. Bye-bye, folks.